Heavenly Father, we're overwhelmed tonight just to think about the presence of your Spirit. It's always with us, Lord, as we know Jesus. And it's always, Lord, reaching out to the lost. And Lord, I thank you for that power tonight, Lord. Lord, as we even sing sometimes, it's just welcome, Lord. And you're just welcome, Lord, tonight to have your will and your way to move among us, Lord, and to do that supernaturally, Lord, what we can't see. But, Lord, we can see the effects, Lord, and feel the effects, Lord, as you bring. I pray, Lord, for that soul that's disturbed, Lord, that you bring peace. I pray for that soul that's comfortable, Lord, that you bring conviction, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd spur us on, Lord, in a church age, Lord, where it seems like there's so many things important. But, Lord, we've lost sight, Lord, of the fact that you tell us we're in a battle. It's a battle for souls. It's a battle, Lord, for worship you. And, Lord, that we're to be soldiers, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, so we fell so often, Lord. And I begin with myself there. And, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, the last days to have Eric's family visiting with us, Lord. I thank you for Eric and just love, Lord, and grown to love him as a son. And, Lord, I thank you for his family. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to use us as a family and church family to love them and to share Jesus with them and show them what Jesus is like through our words and our actions, Lord. Lord, I pray for that hurting heart tonight, Lord. Pray for that one that's just struggling, Lord. I pray for just wisdom, Lord. Lord, whether it be things we're dealing with emotionally or physically or financially or spiritually, Lord, just pray for wisdom, Lord. And I thank you for Proverbs 8 today, Lord, as wisdom just reminds us. It's that as we walk in the door, it's there. As we enter a city, it's there, Lord. And it's just calling out to us tonight, Lord, and every day and every moment. And Lord, I just do pray for Cheryl Haney, for Sherry's dad, for her family, Lord, for her mom especially, and let you touch him. And I'm thankful that he's, Lord, home and that he's feeling better, but Lord, that you might protect his body, Lord, from these strokes. And Lord, the feelings and trouble he's having, Lord, use the medicine that you might touch him. Lord, and you might just be with his family, Lord, as they help to care for him. Lord, I pray for Richard there in Autumn Care. We continue to praise you for his salvation. We pray for his cancer, for his recovery. Lord, just encourage him, Lord, as he's there and use it for a rehab time. We thank you for Chris and Sheila. We love them so. We thank you for the blessed years that you've given them. I pray you'd give them many more, Lord, and just thank you for them. I pray for Carrie's knee. Lord, I pray for Terry. Lord, is that you touch his body, you touch his cancer, you strengthen him, Lord, and be with the doctors, give them wisdom as they review his scans. For Bible school, Lord, just for all the work that's going on, dear God, and just for that week, we set it aside and give it to you and ask, Lord, to be done to glory and honor your name. And, Lord, souls might be saved and we all, Lord, might walk closer with you. And, Lord, I pray for Anas, Lord. We're so thankful for the visa that you provided, Lord. Now just opportunity for him to be back, Lord, and just pray for his salvation, Lord, and knowing that, Lord, you're knocking on his heart's door, Lord, as he's even at home right now, dear God. Lord, I pray for Chris Baker, for the Betty Helms family and the Lena Stigall family. I pray for that couple of Deborah met, Lord, for the church and this Bible school. It's been so many years, Lord. Just bless them and use them. Let this be the beginning of a year-by-year meeting, Lord, there. And for Buddy and that cancer, and for Cindy's salvation, for J.B. Mullis, Lord, just for his recovery and strengthening. And Lord, out of the hospital, Lord, that you touch him. For Larry preparing for his surgery, for Pat and Brian, for Graham's leukemia, for Byron, Lord, that you strengthen him. Touch these side effects tonight, Lord. Pray for Kenobi and Bobby Wright. And Lord, just all on our prayer list, and almost all of us lifted up a hand for an unspoken request where that need is, Lord. You know the need, and you're the one that can meet it, Lord. We trust you. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that as we come and open your word, Lord, that you'd open our minds and hearts to your Spirit, Lord, that you might give us the understanding and give us the application, Lord, that we might, Lord, not just simply listen and study and even enjoy and learn, but, Lord, that we might be doers of the word, Lord. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to look, really kind of begin and look for tonight's Bible study in verse 7. Let's just read really most of this chapter. It's a powerful chapter. If you would stand with me and to honor the reading of his word. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. It says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. They are not by constraint, but willing, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." What a word, clothed with humility. "For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Dear God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just ever give us a reminder, a picture of Jesus' humility. Lord, times when he could have called legions of angels, Lord, even there as we see at the cross, when they began to whip him, when they began to ridicule him, when they began to mock him, when Lord, all the things he experienced, Lord, he exemplified that humility that, Lord, you call us to have. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have that humble spirit, that you might use it, Lord, to care for others. Lord, we just thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come. And, Lord, just help us to be prepared to care, Lord, as you care for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If I had to title this tonight, I guess I'd simply call it Prepared to Care. Prepared to Care. Eric had orientation for college. He'll be going up to UNCC when he comes back next year, living on campus. He's going to be a big man on college campus, not living with us anymore. But I spent some time sitting with his parents in those orientation, I don't know what they call them, information sessions. I mean, and it was just mind-numbing. I mean, it was all day, and it was person after person, information after information. And pray for Eric. I know he's a little nervous, a little overwhelmed at what all he's found out he's got to do and all he has. But one statement they made was they kept talking about, you know, students needing to be prepared, that you've got to be prepared. Right, Stacy? You have to be prepared. They would show, it was a central theme, you got to be prepared. You know, get your rest, get your stuff together, be prepared when you get to class, then prepare by studying, be prepared all the time. And the Bible, when we look at verse 7, just look at verse 7 there with me in particular, it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he care for you." What a wonderful promise. And so often we claim that promise and we're just kind of selfish in that, you know, we're so thankful that we know that we can cast those cares upon him, and we know he cares for us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's our helper. He's always there. But while he's caring for us, God's purpose and intention is that he wants us to be prepared then by that so we can go out and care for others. Amen? Always, whenever someone has a problem, no matter what the challenge may be, someone's having marriage problems, falling into some sin, something's going on physically, maybe battle with cancer, I always try to take time to have the conversation of that no matter what you're going through, God's purpose is, as he guides you through this, is that at some point you come out the other side and you are there ready to help others that have the same problem. And as you get close to God, as God forgives you and you get deal with those issues, then Sandy, the idea would be to come alongside. I'm so thankful. So many of you, over the years, God has done these things in your lives, and we kind of have the understanding I can call upon you. Amen? Can call upon you to be, you've been in a particular situation, and I find somebody else having it, and it's just so much to have somebody to care for you, but be prepared to care. Amen? So look at that verse 7. Let's break that down for a moment, and then we're going to look at some ideas of preparation. But remember, the whole idea about what these scriptures are talking about is that we might be prepared to care for others, and not just the others we feel comfortable with, or not the others that we think we're capable share of caring for, but any and in every opportunity. So in verse 7, when it's really one of the first steps, what we have to do is that if we're going to care for others, he's telling us that we need to have this habit of casting our cares upon him. Amen? We've got to get all our cares upon him so we can be prepared to go out and care about souls, care about salvation, care about the things he's called us to do. Hold your place here and flip over to Proverbs. I really hadn't even planned to go here, but my mind immediately went as I began to share that passage. In Proverbs, Proverbs 3 and in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So when God says acknowledge him in all our ways, we need to acknowledge that all these cares that pile up on us, and they do, amen? I mean, every day, the world and work and everything is piling more on us. Hey, can I get a loud amen? And so we, if you go back to 1 Peter 5, 7, so we have all these cares. Now, if we're not careful, let me speak for myself. What I find myself doing is I find myself carrying cares that I shouldn't be carrying. You know, that they're small things, they're minor things, and, you know, I'm busy praying for the prayer list and praying for the big things and doing those, and I forget that literally, if I don't get my cares cast upon him, if I don't continually put my cares upon him, he says when you're heavy laden in the word that we can come, and his burden is light. So I want to always be reminded of that scripture. When he says that his burden is light, that's a test, okay? So when cares pile down on us and the burden's not light anymore, then we're carrying burdens and cares that we have no business carrying. Because he's already told us in his word that his burden, and that's the only one that we do carry and need to worry about, it's light. So it means we've not come to him and let him get under the yoke with us, and that we've not cast him. It's a constant thing. And I think at some point in life, every one of us would say that we've struggled with not casting our cares upon him. Amen? That we just let them pile up. Small things come. I can use the same example with cares, but so often, and unfortunately, it is that so marriage is such a challenge. Amen? And so many times when I talk to a couple having trouble with marriage, one thing that God kind of showed me a long time ago, Phil, that I say, you know, these problems, they didn't happen overnight. I think it's almost in some cases in our marriages and even relationships at work and different things, it's like a brick wall. And you know, when a brick wall begins, it starts in that little cement footer, and they lay in just one brick at a time, you know, one brick at a time and coming up, and it takes a little bit of time. I think that's the way that problems happen often in marriages and other problems and any kind of problem that's just one brick at a time. And I'll tell a couple, I'll say, you know, them bricks, them issues, them cares, them troubles, the sin was just being laid and laid and laid. And all of a sudden, though, one by one, it got laid, and it came between you. No longer could you see. Well, I think the same way with cares. You know, sometimes I don't know about y'all, but I get to the end of the day, and I'm just like, man, you know, the feel the stress creeping in. And now if you sit here tonight and say you have no stress, that you've got this all figured out, well, I'd like to have some counseling. I would like to sit down with you and understand how you've accomplished that in God's Word, not how you've accomplished it, because I'll never forget having a boss. And he was a different boss. And he'd come in, and he'd come to our business, and he came in there, and he was driving a little Subaru, and seemed like a nice guy, and I guess he was a nice guy, David. And, man, it weren't no time that he had traded that Subaru in for a big old fancy Volvo, and he was building a big fancy house. And I remember I'm in shipping talking to a friend, and my friend says, sometimes the stress of this workplace just gives me a headache. It's just a kind of a stress headache. And I said, you know, I don't ever get a stress headache, but sometimes I just get a knot in my stomach. I just get a stress headache. That guy walked, I'll never forget his name. His name was Jeff, too. He walked, he strutted through us, heard us talking, and he said, I don't get stressed. I give stress. Well, that brick wall in his marriage had built up over time. We didn't know it. You couldn't talk to him. And I wasn't where I needed to be in the Lord. Chris, you all right? And I'll never forget. I was in Raleigh, sitting at a customer with a friend. And the friend's wife worked at a funeral home. Because what had happened, some of you heard this story before. What happened was his marriage had got on the rocks and he'd separated. And something happened. His wife wouldn't listen to the kids anymore. He was doing all kinds of things at work, but what really got him is he was, to get his overtime numbers right, he was marking overtime off people's time cards. And they came down from headquarters, put a security guard in our parking lot, met him at a hotel, fired him. And he took a garden hose and run from his exhaust up into his car at his home, in that big fancy new home, and he killed himself. And I remember sitting there hearing that, and all I could think about was him saying, I don't get stressed, I give stress. And thinking about how stressed, how terrible he must have been. So our troubles build up, I believe, like that, like the brick wall, and all of a sudden it's above. And when it gets above in a marriage relationship or it gets in our life, all of a sudden you can't see, Aaron. You just can't see. You're having trouble seeing God. You can't see how many people love you. That's what's so hard, y'all, when suicide comes to your family or suicide comes to a church family is, you know, everybody saying, I'd have done anything. You'd hope that you get the point with your cares. I mean, I'd hope. Like even if my mom had gone on to heaven and my family was gone somewhere else, that if I got the feeling that I just come to one of y'all and say, hey, I've had too much. I feel like quitting. I feel like killing myself. So I'm just coming to your house to stay until may this get better. And we'd all do that, wouldn't we? We'd go anywhere day and night. We'd do anything. And so, you know, that's the seriousness of this casting cares on God for ourselves. But here's the seriousness of casting. Look what it says. Casting all big three-letter word, all our cares. Y'all, we got to keep that wall down. And I ain't ever got in my life where every brick's gone, okay, y'all right? But I got to keep it down where I can see God. I got to keep casting more on him because people are hurting and people may be much more stressed out than we are and we need to be ready to help them, amen? How many times have you, one particular, my grandfather was very sick. I was very close to my grandmother. I lived next door like a second daddy. He's at Duke Hospital. We go every weekend to visit him after work. And I'm all, you know, just thinking about him. And he all may die and everything. And one Monday morning, we're going to see a customer or something. And I'm with these guys. And they're just talking about everything under the sun. And I'm just like, I'll be honest, I want to cry. And just want to bust out. And they're talking about everything in the world. All I'm thinking about is family and grandfather and him dying. You ever been there? You know. So we need to understand and be able to cast cares. I can remember sometimes being at the front door over the years and, man, just have all kind of things going on, maybe personally, and, man, somebody just come and jump me about the nearest nothing. I mean, you know, just, you know, there's a limb falling down over here, you know, there's a grave that's out of kilter, you know, we didn't sing the third verse of that song Sunday, you know, and I don't even lead music, you know, and think about it. So we often should be ready to ask the question, have we cast our cares on God so we don't cast our cares and stress on other people so we can be ready to receive some? Amen? He says, casting all our cares, care upon him, for he does care for us, so we care for others. Turn to Matthew chapter 3, and you just head on that way. We're not going back to Peter, but Matthew 3. And thinking of preparation, I think one of the best ways to look at it is as it's described, and think about this. Matthew 3, verse 1. Matthew 3, verse 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Don't you love that? So there's a picture here. And when it talks about John the Baptist in verse 2, his message, what he was preaching, what he was saying is constantly, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you realize that we still today, as we have Christ, we are that messenger, that type of John, and as we receive Christ, we're to go out, and that's the message we have. Our ultimate talking to anybody is the need is that you repent. And you need to understand the reason that we need to repent is because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the kingdom of heaven speaks to not only here on earth and God's kingdom that's set up in our hearts, but it also speaks, y'all, that any moment we could die. Amen? Any moment we could. Heaven's at hand. And that's the most wonderful thing when a loved one passes away or there's a tragic accident or whatever happens. You know, heaven is at hand. So the need, and what is repent? Repent is preparation. Repenting is casting cares upon God. Repent means this. Repent literally means a change of direction. It means that you change your way of thinking. In other words, you're going to God. You've made the turn. And so when John was given that message, and constantly his passion was, in verse 3, it says, the prophet Isaiah spoke of that his purpose was going to be, that he was going to be that one crying out that you need to prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That is our job, just like John. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a missionary. We all have that call that what we need to do is we're preparing the way of the Lord. It goes back to that preparation I mentioned. Cast our cares upon him. Let him care for us so that we can prepare the way that there's a path through our life so that others can find God. And we, if we're repenting and if we're passionate about preparing and passionate about the kingdom of heaven, because y'all, the prayer, and you know, we say it's the Lord's Prayer, but that's really not what that is. That's not really a good description of it, because really it's a model prayer. It's even been said it would be better to call that the disciples' prayer. But God is saying that he wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because heaven's at hand. And on the average day-by-day moment, we don't live that way. Amen? We don't live like it's at hand. So repenting is preparation. That is casting that sin and that guilt and all upon him. And so that he can care for us and heal us so that we can go and give that same message to others. Look in Matthew 11:10. It's not far down the Bible from there. In Matthew 11:10, the Bible says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. You know, as I was studying, go back to verse 7, Matthew 11:7. Listen to these words. Listen to the setting here. It says, And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, am more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Man, you're like, wow. But listen to how the humility. Jesus sends a humble message to John. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. That take care of John's humility. Amen. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesies until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah which come for you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It's likened to children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, We have popped unto you and you've not danced. We've mourned unto you and you've not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man, he's gluttonous, he's a winebibber, he's a friend of republicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of children. Here's a little indication. In verse 10, when it's talking about that he's sending a messenger, and the messenger's prepared, y'all, that often we're not prepared to care. We're not. We get tired. We get aggravated. We have all these things go on, and God is, and then here's the warning. It says here, look, don't miss what it's saying. In verse 18, it says, this is what it said about John. It said, John's got a devil in him, okay? And then with Jesus, they said, he's gluttonous, he's a winebibber, he's a friend of publicans and sinners, and look what it said in verse 12, suffereth violence, and violence take it before. If you're prepared to care for people, you better be prepared that this is kind of, there's going to be suffering. And people are going to, you know, think you're acting like the devil. And they're going to see that you're with sinners. Y'all, that's the biggest problem, Ray, with church folks. We love just hanging around church folks. Amen? You know? I've yet to have any of you call me and say, Hey, preacher, I was thinking we might just go down to the bar there in Monroe or, you know, something this weekend, and we might sit out in the, I love the story of a, and if I can dig it up, there's a, gosh, I don't want to think of their names. Oh, they named their son Denim Blue. I cannot remember her name. Iris Blue. Iris Blue was a prostitute. And I think I've got her testimony on DVD. I've got to dig it up. But Iris Blue was a prostitute. And her testimony is that a young, I think it was a young preacher, would come to see her. Now, he wouldn't go into the house of prostitution, but he would get her to come out to talk to him. And she found Jesus Christ. And the most powerful thing about that testimony is that young preacher cared enough. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine? I'm telling you, there's some churches and some church folks that want to get rid of the preacher if he was on a regular basis talking to a prostitute on the phone, you know, and going down to the house of prostitution and going pulling up in the parking lot and having a prostitute come out and sit in his car and talk. Amen? Man, the people be posting that online. That, you know, the preacher was down at the house of. Prepared to care. Are we really prepared to care? We can, you know, we can prepare the shell of this old fleshly shell. We can prepare our bodies. We can prepare our minds. We educate ourselves, and we need to, Eric. We can prepare our homes and our churches, and we can do all of that. But the only way we can prepare our soul for caring is how? Good Dr. Jesus. There ain't no other way. Only Jesus can prepare our hearts for living and dying. And there's an old saying, but it is true. You're not really ready to live till you're ready to die. Amen? You're not really ready to live till you're ready to die. Jesus wants to prepare our hearts, you know, for here, but prepare our hearts for heaven. We saw that early. We need to be prepared to serve. I wrote in my notes this, you know, it's kind of like we make this statement about salvation. Is it that I got Jesus or did Jesus get me? A lot of people just get Jesus. I got my ticket to heaven. I got Jesus. What the Bible talks about is not that you get Jesus, but Jesus gets us. And when he gets you, he gets all of you. And when he gets all of you, then you begin to be prepared. There's another old saying I jotted down is, there's, if you're not careful, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Evangelist that I know well would often say, Junior Hill, he said, you can have more fellowship and you can have a better time with carnal sinful people than you can come from Christians. And he wasn't talking about to go out and do sinful things, but he says sometimes people that don't even know the Lord can have more humility and more compassion and more love and more care for folks that claim they know God. Amen. Luke 1:17, once again talking about John the Baptist, said, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that was somewhat what John, when he said repent and he talked about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was, the word was that Jesus, John the Baptist was used by, was sent by God to make us ready to be prepared for the Lord. Now here's the key. Whenever I want to share Jesus with somebody, I want to be prepared to go do that. I want to be prepared to preach. I want to be prepared for, to be the husband I need to be. But what this verse in Luke 1:17 says, that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for the Lord. So, and if we're prepared for the Lord, we're prepared for anything. If we're not prepared for the Lord, we're not prepared for anything. Amen? We all have had times we did a lot of preparing for something, whether it be work or church or whatever, but there was very little of being prepared for the Lord and what he was wanting to speak in our lives. I wrote in my notes that to be prepared for all the Lord has prepared for us. So if you're prepared with the Lord and what he has, then we're going to be prepared for what he wants to give us. Two things, and we'll kind of begin to wrap up. One is, and the most basic thing we know, is that we need to give our soul to Jesus. Amen? A statement would be this. You know, when you come to Jesus, you know, I made a mess with your creation, Jesus, and ain't nothing I can do about it. I need your help. Hebrews 9:27 says, "There is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Can I read that verse again? "As appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment." There's only been two people in history that didn't die. They're listed in the Bible. Every 100% of everybody else that has been born has died, or they're like us, they're going to die one day. And he says he's appointed to men once to die. Now Lazarus died twice, but after this, the judgment. I may have said this other Sunday, but I don't even know how I know what to do with this, but somebody I'm just so wanting to get saved, he's been in my life for years and years, I realized the other day that he does not believe that when he dies that there's a judgment, and because he doesn't have Jesus, he's going to hell. He does not believe that. No way, Miss Margaret. Because if he tells me he knows he's lost, he tells me he ought to get saved. But I think he relates that to his parents who grew up in a time where, you know, you went to church, you got baptized, and he doesn't go to church, he hadn't been baptized. But there's no way. Y'all, there's no way that he believes that he's in his 60s. There's no way that he believes that when he dies that he'll go to hell or that there's a judgment. No, because if he did, he would do something about it. And I'm not even sure what to do with that now. I know God gave that to me for a reason, to help understand, but you know, you keep, and so that might help you, somebody you're praying for. But secondly, we need to give our care to Jesus. Our sin, I wrote in my notes, sin. My sin and others' sin really do mess up my life. Amen. Look in Psalm 38 and we're done. Psalm 38 and verse 1. Psalm 38 and verse 1 says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. for an arrow stick fast to me, and the hand presses me sore. For there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. Did you see that? Did you realize that was in the Bible? That's one of those things, like I've read the Bible several times, but I look at a verse like that and I'm saying, God, thank you that's in the Bible. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I love that. That's what that whole 1 Peter 5 passage is about, is casting our cares upon him. Because, and y'all remember, and I have to interject this, the Bible does not say that God will not put on you more than you can handle. Okay? Does not say that. He speaks of sin and says that he'll provide a way that you can escape from that sin. But I'm telling you, it is scary. And you're probably like me. You got family. You got people you love. You got church folks that all the time they're saying, God won't put on more than you can handle. I'm going to tell you something. We cannot handle anything. This verse 4 is not talking about some big, heavy sin, some big, heavy problem, some big thing. The picture is this, is God, just look at it this way. Everything is a heavy burden without you. In everything, God is too heavy for me without you. But God, with you, there is no burden that will be heavy upon me because your burden is light. Oh, I love that, y'all. That's what the Bible says. I wrote this. When he gets all our cares, he frees us up to be his instruments of caring. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I'm so thankful you do care for us, Lord. And Lord, I don't know all the heavy burdens that are here tonight, but I do know that my burdens are too heavy for me. And everyone here, the burdens, they're just too heavy for them. So, Lord, we want to take a moment right now and cast those burdens upon you. Lord, someone's going to jump on us before we even get to the car and get down the road, so we're going to keep doing it. But, Lord, I pray that you prepare us to care for souls, to care for souls more than we care for physical health, more than we care about our church, more than we care about our life, our jobs, even our ministry, but Lord, that we care about souls, that we care about our soul, and we want to draw closer to you and be healthy in our soul, but we care about other souls, those that are lost, and those that are walking at the guilty distance, Lord. Lord, prepare us. Use tonight to begin to help prepare us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.